And we are live on Facebook on Augusta Free Press. I'm Chris Graham. This is Street Knowledge, and we've got Rod Mullins with us. It's Wednesday. We normally talk to Rod on Wednesdays. And we get to recap the exciting championship race from this past Sunday. And Chase Elliott, who had to win his way into that Final Four a weekend ago, then he comes home with the title. And man, there's a lot there to unwrap and unwind. And you know, we had a great race. The four contenders for the championship finished in the Final Four. Jimmy Johnson then runs in the top five most of the day, finishes fifth. A lot to go into there, Rod. Where do you want to start?
Well, I just basically want to just say about it. I think it was probably one of the – some people might dispute it and say it was a boring finish to the race because you had the top four running in the top four almost all day. But I think that there were a lot of other different factors going on in this race that made it a lot more exciting as the race went on. Because as we got started early, you know, you saw those first four. Chase Elliott got put to the back of the field almost immediately because he failed pre-race inspection twice. And so that put him to the back of the field. It's an accomplishment in itself when you're able to come through the field like he did and get back to the top. And that's what he did. And he stayed that way off and on, aside from some pit stops off and on during the course of the race. But, you know, people were wondering, you know, is this a setup? You know, is this a setup for all these different things here? The top four had been running in the top four, and then you had Jimmy Johnson running in the fifth position. I think that wave were at least maybe half to three quarters of the race through. He was running, you know, in the fifth position, and everybody thought, well, you know, Jimmy Johnson's got a chance at this, maybe winning his final race. And everybody was probably talking about this whole thing of Hollywood scripts and everything else. But I don't think you could have come up with a Hollywood script quite as satisfying as what this race was, especially for Chase Elliott, because like you said, Chase Elliott had to win his way into this race. And he did that at Martinsville. And of course he did that at Phoenix this time around. And, you know, he was satisfied with his car. He just couldn't believe it. And I think it was one of the most awesome things in the world to see the elation that came off of him and outside and came out of him when he got out of the car, because this was a young man that was truly at 24 years old. He was crying. He was upset, not because of the fact that he didn't perform well in the race, but he was upset at the fact that, hey, I've just won the NASCAR championship. I've done something that only one other person that I know of has ever done, and that's my dad. And he pulled that off. And I think that was a big thing. And then the post-race interviews, I thought were extremely wonderful, considering they had Bill and Cindy Elliott there together, and they interviewed them in the post-race. And Bill Elliott was just, I mean, he couldn't say enough about, you know, the way that the championship had been put together, the way that Chase had had some trouble along the way and then finally got himself into position. But, you know, he said he gave quick credit where credit was due. He said none of this would have been possible if it hadn't been for Rick Hendrick. And Rick Hendrick is who put Chase Elliott at the pinnacle, at the top on Sunday afternoon in Phoenix.
I think I saw this, Rod, because of the pandemic, because of the way NASCAR was trying to be so extra careful throughout the last several months after things got back going in mid-May. I think I read this right, that Chase Elliott had not even seen Rick Hendrick for 8 months, basically from the start of the pandemic. So he finally and NASCAR had relaxed its rules for the last race. They allowed families to be around. They allowed for more people just in general to be around those teams after all those months of the grind that was. I also noted this, and you've got a lot of stuff to share too in terms of news and those kind of things with Chase Elliott and the significance of his win, you know, being the third youngest champion ever and that kind of thing. He's also, I think I had this right, the second person who's the most popular driver in NASCAR to win a championship, the other being his father. He mentioned Bill Elliott won a championship back a generation ago, and he accomplished something by being the most popular driver and also winning a championship that Dale Earnhardt Jr. could never.
Right.
So put that in perspective. I mean, here you got a guy who's only 24 years old. He's a young driver. He's already the most popular driver in NASCAR. And then he's able to put himself in the winner's circle in the biggest race of the year. What is, you know, I guess the future is limitless for this young man.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, when I first saw Chase Elliott come onto the scene, I thought to myself, this is going to be one heck of a driver before it's over with. If he gets the brakes, he's got some of the best experience in one of the most talented drivers that ever got into a Ford vehicle, and that was Bill Elliott when he was driving the Thunderbirds back in those days. And then, of course, he switched over to Dodge part of the time through when he went over to Ray Evernham for a short period of time. But, you know, still, I mean, Bill Elliott knows how to race. He knows how to drive a race car, and he always did. Back in the 80s and the early 90s, he was worth what they called $1 million Bill. That's what they called him. He was a guarantee that if he went to one of the big tracks, you could just about say he was going to pull off a win. And so Chase Elliott has, you know, kind of escaped that aura, so to speak, of his father. I mean, his father kind of sits alone, but here he is, he's kind of often kind of to the side now of that glow that Bill Elliott's had for so long. And now he's starting to generate a little bit more of his own glow, which I think just really shows up even more in how I think professional he's handled himself this season as opposed to the other seasons. And, you know, back a couple of seasons ago, we saw a really major league blow up between him and Denny Hamlin at Martinsville when Denny Hamlin put him into the wall. I can't blame him whatsoever for doing something like that because he was a young driver. He didn't want to be somebody that was run over all the time by some of the older drivers on the circuit, and he was not going to be intimidated by any means. You know, and then there was a couple of incidents too of where Chase Elliott, he threw the middle finger a couple of times at some of the drivers, and it was, some people might say, very unprofessional for him, but he kind of grew up, and I think he's just kind of grown and matured a little bit more. But here's some of the most interesting facts about this. You mentioned about the third youngest champion at the top level of stock car racing, 24 years, 11 months, and 11 days. Now, Jeff Gordon and Bill Rexford in 1950 was 23 years, 7 months, and 15 days. Jeff Gordon in 1995, he was 24 years, 3 months, and 8 days. They were younger. So, you know, he's in some elite company right there. But then you start looking at some of this other stuff. Oh, wow. This is what really gets me here. Lucky 13 for Hendrick Motorsports. They picked up their 13th record extending, championship to Rick Hendrick. They picked that up. They've won titles with 4 different drivers, Jimmy Johnson with 7, Jeff Gordon with 4, Terry Labonte with 1, and now Elliott with the one in 2020. History repeating itself. You know, it could be we could be seeing another championship next year for 2021, the way things are going with Chase Elliott. But, you know, like father, like son, Bill won his first title. He won the title in 1988 when he was 33 years old. So Chase has done it 9 years ahead of what his father Bill did. And I'm telling you, just some of these things that were through here, I just couldn't believe some of these numbers as they put them out here. Here's one that really gets me right here. Since the inception in 1984 of Hendrick Motorsports, they've won 263 races. They hold the all-time record for championships, as I mentioned, 13. Pole positions, 226. Top 5 finishes, 1,101. Top 10s, 1,900. Oh my gosh. And laps led 70,000 laps, almost 71,000 laps. And that's been in 35 consecutive seasons that they've at least, you know, had that in one race or another. And he's 5 wins away from tying Richard Petty and Petty Enterprises all time cup series record of 268 victories. So, I mean, you know, there's some elite company. And then I listened to an interview one night coming back, I think it was from Bristol. And I heard Rick Hendrick talking about sitting down with Richard Petty and seeing what it was going to take to put together a championship team. And, you know, that's where he's gotten a lot of these ideas. He's taken these ideas from the Petty name, the Petty Enterprises organization, and he's put it to use, and he's taken it now into the 21st century.
I got to ask this question about Chase Elliott. So obviously the DNA from Wild Bill, from Awesome Bill, from Dawsonville translated mm-hmm. The driving part of the DNA. What with the accent or lack thereof? Bill Elliott is definitely from Dawsonville, Georgia.
Right.
Chase Elliott sounds like he could be from anywhere in the USA. You think he maybe took some classes to learn that, you know, that non-specific diction that they teach us in broadcasting school? Or what's the deal there? Because the first time I heard Chase Elliott talk, I kept thinking, where's the syrup? I mean, he doesn't sound like Bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've listened to him and I still hear maybe, and I don't know, maybe it's from an ear in Southwest Virginia, hearing a little bit of that twang or a little bit of that draw or something, but I still hear it sometimes. I still hear it with him sometimes, but I don't hear it as prominently as I hear with Bill Elliott. I mean, Bill, of course, Bill's about as South as you can get. And I mean, when you mentioned Dawsonville, Georgia, you know, that pretty much sums it up. And I remember Bill Elliott's rant and rave when Dale Earnhardt went through the dirt at Charlotte, or actually the infield, the grass there, before years and years ago during, I think, the Winston or one of the races. And, you know, he sounded whiny the whole time about it. You know, did you see what he did? He went through the grass. And I was like, what's grass? I've never heard of grass before. But then, you know, that's what it comes out from Bill Elliott. But, you know, Chase Elliott, probably, yes, I guess he's had some voice lessons. Any more of these professional, you know, sports, these athletes, they have some kind of thing one way or another. Can't say it, I guess, too much about Kyle Larson in one way, but they're kind of coached on these things, what to say and what not to say about the way that they handle themselves in front of the media. And, you know, he's had a pretty good idea, I think, what to do from the get go. So he may have had a few classes. I don't know. Cindy, his wife, Bill Elliott's wife, sounds, you know, she sounds about as Southern too as as Bill Elliott, but not quite as much. So it may have been a little bit more of his mother's accent, I guess, coming out more so than it was dad.
I'll say this too. Yeah, you hear the non-regional diction from me when I'm hosting a show. Mm-hmm. But when I get frustrated or angry or whatever the case may be, the West Augusta Chris Graham comes out. So maybe we just got to get Chase riled up on the track one day and then put a microphone right in front of his face. We might hear some Wild Bill in there.
Well, you could. I mean, you very well could. But I, you know, it's, I don't know when that will be. I hope, you know, in one way, I kind of hope I'd like to see it one day. But, you know, I don't know if I'd really want to turn him loose with the temper either, because Bill Elliott had a temper at one time, and I'm sure that Chase Elliott's probably got that temper too in there.
That's right. That's right. So now we talked about the Final Four, you know, and how the race went for those guys. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. He ran well most of the day, finished fifth. You know, not the storybook ending. We didn't get a win in the final season for Jimmy. And of course, he's going to transition to some part-time racing in IndyCar next year. Mm-hmm. But what can you say about his day and about his year, his final year of full-time on the NASCAR circuit?
I'd say it's mixed. It's disappointing because, you know, I'm sure, like a lot of other fans out there, they wanted to see Jimmy Johnson go out with a bang, and they wanted to see him go out with a win this year. But, you know, it was the situation. I think there was some people might say that the Hendrick organization, they are spread so thin across with these four different drivers and so forth. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson was really just kind of building a team back up, so to speak. But, you know, he still had some people that were there when Chad Knaus was still his crew chief. But, you know, Chad Knaus went over to the Liberty team and William Byron. But, you know, you can't really say that William Byron was as successful this year either. I mean, yeah, he did make the chase. He did get into the playoffs, but then quickly dropped out of it almost as quick as he made it. You know, he had some good runs there, especially early on, picked up his first win on the 2020 season and his career. But, you know, I think there were some things kind of playing into those factors. And I think that Jimmy Johnson had kind of gotten to a point of where maybe he just wasn't maybe in tune with the car like he used to be. And maybe he was looking for another avenue or something else to do. One of the things he's been mentioning has been what kind of time he's going to spend with his family now, once that he gets out of there. Maybe he was looking toward that a little bit more. And I know the girls were, his two daughters were very happy, even though the race was over with on Sunday at Phoenix. One of the daughters came up to him and said, "You won, Daddy." And he said, "No, didn't quite win there, honey. You know, I finished fifth." Said, "Oh yeah, but those four, that was the championship racers and everything. You beat out all the other racers by winning in fifth." And so that, he said, "I'd never looked at it that way." So from a child, he got a different perspective out of it. But I think for him, it's been a mixed season. It's been one of some raised hopes, some dashed expectations of what really happened, but I think he capped it off really at Phoenix. I think he drove a whale of a race on Sunday at Phoenix. I would have liked to seen him in the winner's circle, but you know, this was one of those things that he, you know, he thought was reserved for Chase Elliott. And that's exactly who he saw in the winner's circle. And Chase Elliott and him, as a matter of fact, a long embrace, a big hug right there at the end of the race, talking to each other, they have formed a bond between the two of them. And so I don't think we've quite seen the last of Jimmy Johnson, so to speak, in NASCAR. I think there'll still be some advice thrown out his way, probably to Chase Elliott or whoever else is in the Hendrick stable, even though he's kind of stepping away. But, you know, drivers talk in between different things, and they may pick up the cell phone and call somebody. So I think it could be a little bit different as time goes on.
So now we head to the off season, and it's hard to believe we have been just, you know, week in, week out through the pandemic, the 10 weeks when we were having to cover iRacing. We get back in mid-May, you know, the strange feeling of how things got started with, you know, just no fans at first, and then, you know, the lack of practice, the lack of practice laps, everything else. I mean, we get to the stage where that becomes normal. We get to a playoffs, which were thrilling. My God, they were so awesome this year. Mm-hmm. We had a surprise ending with Kevin Harvick, one of the most successful races of the year, not even making the championship four. And then a guy who won his way in, Chase Elliott, then winning the championship, getting hot at the right time. Okay, so now off season, we're 3 months away roughly from Daytona 500. The you know, there'll be lots of obviously training and practice and testing and everything else in the next couple of months. We've been talking a lot about movement, racers who are signing on with new drivers, signing with new teams, teams who are looking for new drivers. I'll ask this kind of very open-ended question. What are you looking most forward to this offseason? What do you think the big storylines maybe of the offseason will be 2020 heading into 2021?
I think it's going to be one thing is trying to get back on a regular schedule, so to speak, with NASCAR for next year. You know, they did everything in a compressed format, if you want to call it that, because of the COVID. You know, things are going to change next year. They're going to be going with one-day events. In a lot of cases, they're going to be having some things. They're going to be having a Xfinity race maybe on a Sunday and then a Cup race immediately following that Xfinity race. So they're going to kind of narrow some things down. 28 races of where, you know, this is going to be a one-time weekend sort of thing. It's going to be either a one- or two-day event. So they're kind of trimming some things down on that. I think it's also a thing of where a transition where we're going to have to get used to it. We're going to be saying goodbye to what we know of as a stock car and looking at that car of tomorrow coming by 2022. That's the date now that's coming about. And already I've heard that Martin Truex and I think Ryan Newman's going to be testing that car of tomorrow at Charlotte. They're going to be having some open dates of where they're going to let the media in now finally to see this event. And that's going to be interesting to watch that car of tomorrow, because we're going to be going from five lug nuts on a tire to one. And it's going to be the center one. It's going to be like an Indy car, you know, sort of deal of where you put the tire on and it's got one big lug nut, if you want to call it that, but it's the center thing that will attach the tire on to the hub itself. But we're going to see a lot of changes, and we might as well just get used to it. This is what's going to be different part of that. And then some of the drivers and some of the other people that's been involved in the sport are going to be in some different positions, like Chad Knaus. He's going to be moving up in a competition sort of way. And then I just got word this afternoon that Jimmy Finnig, who helped Kurt Busch win his 2004 championship over at Roush Racing, he's going to be moving up inside of Roush Racing, sort of a director of competition, so to speak, there. So he won't be in a crew chief position anymore. So you're taking some of these old crew chiefs, and I don't mean it bad when I say old crew chiefs, but you're taking some of these guys out and you're kind of bumping them up into the executive suite, so to speak. And then you're going to be putting younger guys into positions as, you know, crew chiefs, working on the pit crew and everything. People that have, that you would think, well, maybe this is a sport for some younger, younger folks. They're trying to attract a little bit more of a younger audience to try to get that interest in there and get them involved a little bit more. So I think we're going to see a lot of changes coming up this year. one thing I think is going to play havoc is if we have another surge like, well, currently what we're having, at least in my region, part of the region, if we have another surge of this COVID again, where is that going to put racing? I think for NASCAR, it makes them look a little bit better because they were able to pull this thing off. They had some people that tested positive. They were able to go and retest them, and then they were able to come back. Jimmy Johnson, for example, with that one incident that happened where he tested positive, the family went in quarantine, and then he checked back out. He was okay afterwards. But I think NASCAR is probably going to play it safe, hold it close to the cuff, so to speak, and they're going to try to go and forego this again and not run into the same situation as what we ran into back in March when everything got put on hold and Atlanta got put on hold and Bristol got put on hold and it messed everything up. So I think we're going to be seeing some changes come about then. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you caught this or not. Did you catch Joey Logano's comments this afternoon on one of the syndicated Sirius XM radio shows?
Yeah.
Joey Logano was tempted to bring out a late race caution at Phoenix on Sunday. Okay. I was shocked at that. I don't know why, but he said, you know, it was getting close to the very end. And he thought, well, you know, I've got one chance at this. Maybe I've got a chance at being able to get back into this and maybe win this thing. Should I or should I not, you know, cause a late race caution, maybe a bump or a spin, so to speak. And he said, I just kind of played it off and said, no, we'll just go ahead and race. But still, when I hear that from Joey Logano, it makes me start wondering, how many times have you ever pulled this off before and nobody really paid any attention to it? And now you're telling everybody your secret. I wouldn't have done it, but he did. So
he did. And he's hoping we'll forget next year, but no question. Yeah. That's an interesting tidbit there. And now it does make you wonder, not just him, but others, how many times that kind of thing might pop up during a race, because obviously the way things finished, I think there were only four cautions and three of them were scheduled cautions on Sunday. So yeah, he could have benefited, any of those final four could have benefited from a restart in a drag race, basically in the last few laps of the finish. And it didn't play out that way. So, interesting thinking there. Yeah, I have to think about
that. Well, he couldn't have been any worse than Robbie Gordon, who took his glove off while he was driving and threw it out the window and said, oops, I lost my glove, you know.
Remember
that's
what
Robbie Gordon did, so.
Yeah. I remember that one. That's an interesting thing to bring up there. That's an easy way. That way you don't have to swap paint or anything else or risk anything. You just throw your glove out.
It was a glove or it was a heat shield one on his foot. Now, tell me how he was able to reach down there on his heel and get that heat shield off of his foot. You know, he must have been a contortionist, to say the least, to be able to get that thing off and then throw it out the window. And then you're wondering, what's the matter? Is the floorboard came out from underneath the car? Why did they lose a heat shield on the heel of a foot? So, you know, crazy things about the sport of NASCAR. But, of course, the one that takes the cake, of course, is the red flag situation at Daytona when Sterling Marlin climbed out of the car, assessed the damage on his Coors Light car, and then started pulling at the fender when he knew full well he wasn't supposed to be working on a car in a red flag situation. Of course, he got penalized out of that, but that's one I'll never forget for the ages.
Those little rules that we have to watch every minute of every race for, because you have to say something happens every race, something happens every football or baseball game I watch that I've never seen before. And those are certainly among those things there where that's the case. Hey, Rod, you've got something you're working on. I want to tease this for you because we're going to take a couple of months off, sadly for me, as we we'll come back later in January and get ready for 2021. But you have something in the works where you're going to keep busy with sports coming up here in a few weeks. Talk to our viewers out here, our listeners on our podcast, about what you have coming up.
Well, basically, I'm going to be working on a project that is going to deal with the school that I work for when I'm not doing races and everything. And it's not a school sanctioned sort of website or anything. It's going to be a kind of an independent reporting sort of thing, a little gig of covering high school sports for a particular high school, one school that's in the county, my home county, where I'm originally from. And so that's going to give me a chance to be able to utilize some things that you and I've been doing here with the NASCAR little podcast, but also some things that you've kind of given me some ideas on, and that going to the UVA games and giving a post-game wrap-up and talking about stats and being able to do updates through the course of a game. And it's going to be interesting. I'm exploring just so many different things about how to do this. And, you know, really it's not going to start until probably around December the 21st, December the 25th is when it's going to really take place, because as it stands now, the high school season is not really supposed to start until about mid-December, maybe the first part of January. But then we're going to be talking about a lot of things crammed together at once. And then coming up for February is going to be football season. You're going to have football, and then you're going to have volleyball. And oh gosh, then by the spring, you're going to have some of these things overlapping into one another. So it's going to be a, it's going to be an interesting start. We're going to see how it goes. And we're going to give it a shot and see what happens with it, because it comes to a point of where I guess you feel like you're looking for coverage, and I guess you're looking for the proper coverage, so to speak. And you know, you've got a lot of different media sources that come in and they try to cover as much as they can, but they're also pulled and tugged between so many different schools and different areas. You know, maybe it's time that somebody just decided to sit down and do some things and, you know, do something about one school, talking about who they're playing and so forth like that. And so that's kind of the way, the direction I'm going in right now. And then probably going to be looking at something else, maybe by spring, and something else along the NASCAR line, but still affiliated with you guys and everything, working on that.
A lot working there. And yeah, the next few months in sports will be very interesting in that respect, because we have so much overlap that will be coming up in the spring, especially both from the high school perspective, the college perspective. So yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, we had to get through some tough months back, especially earlier this year, but things are looking up. So for our viewers on the Facebook feed, and then our listeners on our podcast feed, as Rod gets that, his new operation up and running, we will share the address. We'll help share, we'll help promote it. I mean, it's all good. We want to see it all work. So yeah, we'll have that information for you in the next few weeks, and looking forward, Rod, to seeing what you're able to put out there.
No, oh, and you know, and I also have to throw in a plug too. You know, if I hadn't had the idea from, you know, you and Crystal, talking to you and Crystal, it's also been inspired to me from Jerry Ratcliffe more than anything else. And even though it's not on a college level quite yet, I'd like to make it as nice as what Jerry has worked on and what he's been able to put together. And then also as great as what kind of coverage you guys put together at the Augusta Free Press too.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to have Jerry. Jerry and I are talking about starting. I guess I'll be joining him on his regular weekly podcast. Hopefully as early as tomorrow, and having that further solidifying our working relationship from the past couple of years. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning Jerry. And yeah, we're going to do what we can to promote you as well, and look forward to that. But Rod, man, this is always a sad thing. It's, you know, we've been doing this now for what, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Every Wednesday, I just kind of know, like, my week is kind of revolves around, all right, you know, when I'm done with this on Wednesday, Rod, it feels like I'm kind of like going, the rest of the week's all downhill from here, you know? And so this is how I time my weeks, you know? And you know, I wake up on Wednesday, Crystal says, oh yeah, today's Wednesday, you got your podcast with Rod, right? At 5:30. And so it's bittersweet, because now I don't have my fulcrum for my week is gone away. But it's always fun, Rod, having you on the show. And we'll keep up the next couple of months just here and there. But man, looking forward to 2021. But thank you for helping us get through 2020.
Well, it's been a pleasure. We'll start it all over again probably about January, when things start really starts getting a little bit more as we start getting closer to Daytona, and we'll get into Daytona by February 14th. And you know, it's our hope that we can be able to cover some more races this year and be able to be there. And you know, I think that's been a great thing too. I think for me, getting the Augusta Free Press in there and getting a little bit of recognition out of them, it's nice when you finally get a call or you get an email and says, you know, you've been invited to the race, why don't you come to cover the race or cover the All-Star race. And I think it's been a great thing, and it's been a great thing, especially having you guys and having your the name of the Augusta Free Press behind me, because it's helped me out a lot.
NASCAR treats you better than my alma mater treats me. Maybe I should leave it at that. But I love it. And I think to me, it's awesome. And you carry the flag so well for us to ride. Look forward to a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to you and yours, your beautiful little granddaughter. I'll miss seeing her on these Zooms the next few weeks, but look forward to coming up in 2021. It's not that far away. So.
No, it's not. But maybe if everything kind of gets lifted by some miraculous thing, who knows? We might make it up to Charlottesville if we can get up there to a game. But of course, we're still looking at, we don't know what the situation might hold just yet. So we'll just have to wait and see.
I'm thinking, okay, I'll say this. I'm thinking that with the news about the vaccine that we heard earlier this week, mm-hmm. it's still probably, you know, the basketball season is probably going to be a TV season for most of us, which is okay. Mm-hmm. As long as they play the games, I don't care. It's probably realistically the 2021 sports season is when we'll be back. I haven't even been to Charlottesville myself, Rod, since March.
Yeah.
So that I'll tell you something. But no, we look, I mean, you looking forward to all this and maybe we'll have you back on when you get your thing started back up. When you get your high school thing started up, have you on just kind of talk about that, promote that a little bit. So I got some thoughts here anyway.
Okay.
But thank you, Rod, for your time as always. All right. We'll see you again pretty soon. And for our viewers out there, everyone have a great week.